Good morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone that's able to make it out this morning. It's good to be out. We need to be mindful of those that were mentioned as unable to be out and be praying for them that they might have their health restored to them. This morning, for a few minutes, I would like for us to consider Isaiah. And sometimes Isaiah is referred to as the Prince of Prophets. I want to look at this book to help us as we build our personal knowledge about the Bible and God's Word. If you want to know more about Jesus, study the book of Isaiah. If you want to know more about God, study the book of Isaiah. And I want to ask a question now, and we'll answer the question at the end of the lesson, but if you just had the book of Isaiah, would you be able to have enough in there to teach somebody the plan of salvation? And that is the key thought in Isaiah, salvation to come, salvation that is coming. And again, that is what the whole Bible is about, the salvation of man that comes from God or comes through Christ to bring glory to God. And salvation that we can enjoy because of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah has been called the Prince of Prophets because he has so much to say about Christ. Luke records Jesus' words in chapter 24 and verse 44. And Jesus said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." So Isaiah means the Lord is salvation. The theme of Isaiah is salvation. And about 26 times, the idea of salvation is found in this book. It's found more than in all the other prophets combined together. And Isaiah asked the people a very important question. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? At the time of Isaiah, he was writing in the time of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And the book covers about 105 to 110 years. Well, God's people, Judah, put a great deal of trust in their leaders and their military. They put trust in alliances with other nations and in themselves. Solomon writes in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." But the people were leaning on their own understanding. And even today, the tendency is to trust in government leaders, or trust in military, or trust in ourselves. But friends, we must trust in God. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3, 5, our sufficiency is from God. So Isaiah points us back to God's grace, His power, His mercy, and His glory. Isaiah is quoted about 300 times in the New Testament. And 47 of the 66 chapters are quoted in the New Testament. No book in the Old Testament, with the exception of Psalms, has more to say about Jesus and His greatness than Isaiah. And Psalms has 150 chapters, Isaiah has 66. So Isaiah indicates the prophetic incarnation of God coming down from heaven in the form of a man, Jesus. The Word became flesh. God came down from glory and lived among us. One of the more common prophecies of this in Isaiah 7:14, a virgin will conceive. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. And what does Emmanuel mean? It means God with us. We see the fulfillment of this prophecy in Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Jesus means Savior, the Anointed One, Emmanuel, God with us. God came down from heaven to live among us. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. What a beautiful description of this Son of God that is going to come down and reign as King. So Isaiah contains many prophecies. Isaiah also contains prophecies of miracles that would take place. In Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. All of these miracles are going to take place at the hand of this Messiah, Emmanuel, this Savior that comes down to the earth. Miracles over nature, over disease, over demons, over death. Just think about that. This shows the might and power of Christ. And in Isaiah, we don't even, not only do we see the nature of those miracles, but we see something about the nature of Jesus himself. In Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 and 2, behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will cry out. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. This is an interesting prophecy where we see he's going to bring justice to the Gentiles, but we also see something about his nature. He's not going to cry out or raise his voice. And again, we see the fulfillment of that in Jesus in Matthew 11:28, where Jesus was meek and mild. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So we see something about the prophecies of the coming Messiah, about his nature. We also see in Isaiah a forerunner of Jesus is revealed, John the Baptizer. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 and 5, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain will hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. For the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Again, the prophecy of John the Baptist coming as the forerunner and all flesh being made one. When we keep reading in Isaiah, we see much of his messianic influence and we see about his crucifixion. In Isaiah 53, the just died for the unjust that he might bring us unto God. And again, in the New Testament, Peter reaffirms that in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. For Christ also suffered for once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And friends, when we're going through all of these Old Testament passages about these prophecies, don't just think this was for the people that lived back at that time. This is for us. This is for our learning, our understanding. And remember these prophecies about the sacrifice and crucifixion of Jesus. Remember the sins that are written here are talking about our sins. Your sins and my sins, our iniquities, our transgressions. But the wounding was his, the stripes were his, and by his stripes we are healed. Only by what was done at the cross can we have hope. And that great story is told back in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 to the end of the chapter, God exalted his name above every other name. And again, we see that repeated in the New Testament in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the God the Father. So this Messiah, this Emmanuel that Isaiah prophesied about that came, he is Jesus. God has highly exalted him. In Isaiah, we also learn about the kingdom, the body, the church. Turn to Isaiah chapter 61, and let's look at the first three verses there. In Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Some of this in reading Isaiah 61 reminds me of when we looked at the Sermon on the Mount, just some of the phrases, the terminology, the word pictures. But now let's turn back to Isaiah chapter 2. And all of these three passages we're going to look at here under this section will tie in together. Not only do we have the prophecy of the Spirit of the Lord coming upon us, but in Isaiah chapter 2, we are going to see where this is going to begin. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the later days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So we see that the beginning of this kingdom is going to take place in Jerusalem, from Isaiah 2. In Isaiah 61, we see that the preaching is going to be done there, proclaiming all of these wonderful things. And we see in Isaiah also that the people would be known by a new name. Back to Isaiah 62 now. Isaiah 62, verses 1 and 2. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The Gentiles shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will name. So here Isaiah is prophesying this new name, that all shall be called by a new name. And what is that new name? We know that that is the name Christian, the name for God's people. And this shall be called by a new name. We are called this name by God, by this prophetic prophecy here. So Isaiah 2, Joel 2, Daniel 2, all of these passages point to Acts 2. All of these are pointing toward the kingdom, the church that is going to be established. Isaiah talks about Jesus, the Savior, his church, a new name. And this church is the kingdom of the Lord. And again, Isaiah is not the only one that prophesied a king, but the Jewish people were looking for a king. Now, the book of Isaiah can be divided into two parts. The first section is chapter 1 through 39, and these are prophecies of condemnation and judgment. Condemnation and judgment. And the world power at that time is Assyria. The second part of this book, there's a change in tone, and it's prophecies of comfort and hope. So we have prophecies of condemnation and judgment, and then prophecies of hope. And if you notice, Isaiah is divided into 66 chapters. It was divided into chapters by man, but some people say that in Isaiah we have the Bible in miniature, because the Bible has 66 books, Isaiah has 66 chapters, and there is so much in Isaiah. Isaiah deals with the Lord and salvation, but let's look at a brief outline of these chapters. In chapters 1 through 12, we have the sins of Judah and its leaders. So God is king, and he sees what was going on in the land and government. And so a judgment is given against Judah and the leaders. And is there a lesson there for us? There is. God sees what, he still sees what goes in all the lands and governments all over the world. And God will bring judgment on a nation and against its leaders when he desires it. Chapters 13 through 23, there are at least 11 nations mentioned in Isaiah. And Isaiah gives a prophecy. It's called a burden. He gives a burden to each one of them, a burden of judgment and a burden of condemnation. And we are reminded that God rules in the affairs of men. Isaiah is warning them. Isaiah is warning the people, these nations, that how they are living is not right with God. And again, we see that going on today. We need not that the church is a political instrument, but as individuals, we need as individuals to rise up and let people know that God is not pleased with things that are going on in government, and God is still in control. When we get to chapters 24 through 27, we see songs of hope. And an example of that in Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in you the Lord is everlasting strength." So with all of this turmoil going in and on around us, just as it was at the time of Isaiah, and God is going to bring judgment on places, what do? We put our trust in God. And again, back to the question that Isaiah asked the people at that time that we need to ask ourselves, who do we trust in? What do we trust in? You turn on the news channel and you'll hear it's all kinds of ideas and philosophies like we were talking about earlier. Friends, sometimes we just need to, we need to know what's going on to pray for our rulers, and sometimes we just need to tune that out and put our trust in God and pray to God. We need to ask ourselves, who do we trust in? Why? Because just like back then, a judgment was coming. Again, the lesson for us, the judgment is coming. Do we put more trust in a king of an earthly nation, or the King of Kings that reigns over all that is reigning in heaven? 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So Isaiah tells us, he warns us of this judgment to come, but he also gives us hope. And Isaiah also reminds us that deliverance and rescue is possible. Paul says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We may not escape physical harm, physical judgment, but friends, we can escape spiritual harm if we are in Christ Jesus, if we do not walk according to the flesh. Who do you trust? Who do you trust? Jesus is coming. Why is he coming back? He's coming to judge. We need to be ready. Acts 17:30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now God commands all men everywhere to repent. Warning after warning. Chapters 28 through 35, the Assyrians will be God's rod of anger, and then God will deal with them. So God raises up one nation to judge another, to judge his own people, and then God deals with them because God is in control of all. Chapters 36 through 39 are very historical. The Assyrians had Jerusalem bottled up. It looks like it'll be the end of Hezekiah and Judah. And then God delivers them. He rescued Judah and Hezekiah from the Assyrian attack. Chapters 40 through 66 deal with prophecy of comfort and hope. And chapter 40 through 48 stress the greatness of God and his plans. That's important for us to know. Very important. Chapters 40 through 48 stress the greatness of God and his plans. In chapter 40, Isaiah talks about God is greater than our circumstances. And we need to be reminded of that. Again, this book is so relevant for us today. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God is greater than our circumstances. If a nation falls, does our hope fall? Not if we are in God. God is greater than the circumstances. Chapters 41 through 44, God is greater than our fears. He's greater than our fears. And again, Paul says in Romans chapter 8 and beginning verse 37, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous hand. Friend, this should give us great comfort. Great comfort. We can get great comfort from the prophet Isaiah. Seven times from chapters 41 through 44, God says, do not fear. And in chapters 45 through 48, we see that God is greater than our enemies. And again, this concept is repeated over in the New Testament, Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. So we see how great God is here in Isaiah. So stop and think about this. God is greater than our circumstances. God is greater than our fears. God is greater than our enemies. And what's the question that Isaiah asked? Who do you trust in? Who do you trust in? God is the only one that can deliver us. He's the only one that can save us. Why are you trusting in someone else? Chapters 49 through 57 continues with the greatness of God. But now Isaiah also emphasizes the grace of God. And that is, again, is manifested in Christ and sending Christ to come and be the sacrifice for us. Friends, if we want to know more about Jesus, Isaiah is one of the books that is often overlooked, but Isaiah is rich in knowledge about Jesus and about God. About God. God and Jesus, and you can't really separate them. And if you think nobody cares about your life, and if you think life is not worthy, is not worth living, think about the cross. Think about the cross, because that is the story of Isaiah. Salvation to come. God is going to come down from heaven. Emmanuel, God with us. That makes each and every one of us very important. Remember the cross. Remember God's grace and greatness and glory. Chapters 57, 58 through 66 deal with the glory of God, the greatness of God, the grace of God, the glory of God. Isaiah 43, 7 beginning says, "Everyone who is called by my name, who I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made them. Bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is the truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me." We have so much proof of God and who he is from Isaiah. And because of understanding who God is, friends, our purpose in life, what is it? It's to praise and worship God, our Creator. That's the story of Isaiah. And this is repeated in Ephesians 1, 6, Ephesians 1, 12, Ephesians 1, 14. We are created to praise and worship him, but we have a problem because we've all sinned. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And this, we have to come in contact with this Savior. Habakkuk 1:12-13 says, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God and my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment, O rock. You have marked them for correction." Now notice this. "You are of pure eyes then to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness." Here we have this description of God that because of his purity and holiness, his eyes cannot behold evil. "Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he?" See, our sin is a problem. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not slack, it's not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Friends, the prophecy of Isaiah, it is so rich, talking about Jesus, talking about God, talking about our need for them. So back to the question I asked a little bit ago, could you teach somebody the gospel? Could you teach somebody the gospel from the book of Isaiah? And I hope you're saying yes, because when we looked at Acts 8 a couple weeks ago, the Ethiopian treasurer, what was he reading? He was reading Isaiah 53. And what did Philip ask him? Do you understand what you're reading? And beginning with Isaiah, Philip proclaimed Jesus. All of these prophecies point to Jesus. They point to our need for a Savior. They show how our sins have separated us from God. These prophecies show how we need to be reunited with Christ. And we also learn from the example in Acts 8 that preaching Jesus, it involves the plan of the cross. He preached about the church. And we know that with both of those, that also involved baptism because the Ethiopian was baptized. Friends, if you want to learn more about Jesus, study the book of Isaiah. If you want to learn more about God, study the book of Isaiah. Remember that God is greater than our circumstances. God is greater than our fears. God is greater than our enemies. And remember the question that Isaiah asked. He asked them, and the question is for us today, who do you trust in? Are you trusting in all of these things out in the world? Friends, there's no hope in that. We need to submit. We need to submit to this king that Isaiah prophesied. We need to submit to him, trust in him, put him on in baptism, wear that new name that Isaiah prophesied about. And then we have the assurance that our sins are forgiven and that we can reign with him one day. Friends, who do you trust in? Put your trust in Christ. Submit to him today. Submit to him right now. And if we can assist you, please come forward now as we stand and sing.